Get Up with Carly and Lakey on Hit CQ.
So on Friday afternoon, you and I, we had the whole of Gold Class Cinema to ourselves down at Gladstone Cinemas. Thanks very much to Mel from Gladstone Cinemas for queuing that up for us. It all stemmed off a little conversation we had on Thursday's show. I had no idea about this new It clown horror movie because I've never seen a horror movie before. It's not part of my repertoire to enjoy things like that. Never really thought about it. You said you couldn't pay me enough money to watch this scary new clown movie.
And by the way, considering I have come over the other side of that and watched it, where is my payment?
We made a new deal, champ. We made a new deal. And that was that I'd go in and watch it with you, and you were allowed out of the locked Gladstone Cinema if your heart rate reached over 150 beats per minute.
Yes.
Which is insane for someone sitting down, even with your sort of heart rate and blood pressure levels.
I know, look, Lakey, I didn't quite make it out of the cinema. I had to sit through the whole thing.
You got close. I think you're up about 138 at one stage, weren't you?
We have actually posted the results at facebook.com/HitCentralQueensland.
Here is some of the audio from what went down on Friday afternoon whilst watching the It movie.
All right, here it is.
Oh, there's that balloon. I've gone up to 95. I don't like this already. But maybe that's scary. I can't say that's not scary.
Now,
sorry, just to say I had a good time.
Just for those people who tuned in halfway through that was Carly at a movie, at the movies, watching something scary, not going down to Dreamworld on a roller coaster.
Do you know what's interesting though, Lakey? So you took the heart rate monitors back to Rob for Training for Warriors, who lent them to us.
Yeah. He hooked us up with the iPad. It records all our data. Yeah. Thanks, Rob, from Training for Warriors.
And what he said to you is, I burnt 440 calories, which is the equivalent of a 30-minute jog.
Yes.
I hate exercise, but not as much as I hate scary movies. Carly and Lakey's What It's Like, people sharing their stories and experiences.
First segment of What Is It Like?
Yeah, I believe that everyone has interesting experiences as they go on in life, and I love to hear about people's experiences, good and bad. And today joining us is Dale Carr. He has had a pretty harrowing experience in his life. On the 22nd of August 2015, he was attacked by a shark, and he joins us now to tell us what it is like to survive a shark attack. Jesus. Good morning, Dale.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Good morning, good. Your Honour. Yes, very
we're
good.
We're glad you're here.
Very impressive indeed.
But I'm glad to be here too. Thanks for asking.
Firstly, take us through what happened on that day and kind of what you were feeling and how it all unfolded.
Well, I was supposed to be at home working, but a mate of mine, Shane DeRoyce, rang me up and said, let's go for a surf. But it was terrible, choppy, windy conditions, and we thought, no, we'll still go for a surf anyway. It's better than working. And, we're at a place called Watonga Rocks at Lighthouse Beach in Port Macquarie, New South Wales. And, I just come over a wave and it just all of a sudden a massive jolt under the board and I got lifted clean up in the air. And I thought to myself, oh, you dumb dolphin, I never did ever expect to be a shark. But, the fin come beside me and I'd never seen something so big just tear up the water. And, it latched on to my thigh. And your rear end, and look, what seemed like a long time was probably only a couple of seconds, but I sort of tried to strike it back as hard as I could. And fortunately, I managed to sort of find some sort of black abyss of an eye there. And next thing you know, I was released, and they reckon that from all accounts, I was the fastest paddler back to shore.
Wow. And what were you thinking when you're paddling back to shore? Because obviously, you would be scared that it would still be following you.
Never, ever look back. Mm. Never look back. Yeah.
This sounds like a silly question, Dale, and it's not, but did it hurt? Like, did you just go into so much shock, or was the pain very, very real?
Right, okay. So that's a really great question. And look, up your way, I recently just met Glenn Dixon, who lost his leg in Cairns. And we all caught up together as shark attack survivors as part of a group called Bike Club. And not one of us experienced pain in those first couple of hours at all.
Wow.
So I've spoken to a lot of shark attack survivors, and none of us feel pain. And I think that's a good thing too, because see, a big part of our club is people who are family members of those who have been taken. And so they always ask that question when they first meet us, is like, you know, was it painful? And we always say to them, look, no, those first couple of hours, we never felt anything at all.
So what happened was you managed to get your way back to the beach. Now, I actually know that beach. I grew up close to the area, Lighthouse Beach. It's a massive beach. Sometimes it's patrolled, sometimes it's not. It's, you know, it's not highly populated. So what happened when you managed to make your way to the beach and you're bleeding?
Oh, well, look, it was a late afternoon, and I was just the luckiest guy on the planet. There happened to be a man and his wife were on the beach, and obviously my mate Shane, he put the biggest yards in and caught up to me, and there was another bloke called Andrew. And look, it was basically like a MacGyver show, a towel, a shirt, and a couple of shoelaces, and they managed to sort of bind the wound, and someone managed to get a phone call to an ambulance, and within a couple of minutes, it was there. And so, like, I just probably the luckiest guy on the planet, because I really did, I lost half my blood in the process in such a short period of time. I think if they were a couple more minutes later, I don't think I would have made it.
It's an amazing story. Dale, stick around, part two of what it's like to be attacked by a shark on the other side of this.
Carly and Lakey's What It's Like, people sharing their stories and experiences.
Yeah, part two of what it's like this week. Dale Carr, what it's like to be a survivor of a shark attack.
It's interesting because I actually know one of the ER nurses that worked on you, Dale. I don't know if you've heard this before, but she was actually telling me, apparently, if your ass wasn't so big, you wouldn't have made it.
See, my surgeon, his last name was Shatwell. And he said to me, he said, anatomically, I've never seen such a large rear end and such a big thigh. He said, you got skinned like an Indian, and thank God you had a fair bit to donate. He said it could have been the other way around. He said it just missed the femoral artery by a millimetre.
Wow.
And high fives all around.
Obviously, the shark was an ass man.
No, Dale, obviously, a couple of years on from that attack, how has this affected your life? You did mention you're now a part of a club, but I could imagine, though, it would be a traumatic experience. We are laughing about it now, but do you have flashbacks? Are you scared to go back in the water?
Right, okay, so it's a good question, because PTSD seems to be the topic that's coming up, you know, whether it's you're in emergency services or in armed services or motor neuron disorder, you had a major cancer. Look, shark attack in our experience has been no different. And so what happens is, those first 8 weeks, you become really hypervigilant. So even when I was driving a car, I really felt like someone was going to attack me from the side. You sort of struggle a little bit. And then look, the topic of conversation can be really divisive sometimes. And so you actually get a little bit disassociated. You sort of try and stay away from people with strong opinions. And then some of us, you can sort of, I asked the community hall up in Ballina a couple of weeks after my attack. I said, look, put your hand up if you don't enjoy going surfing as much as you used to. And everybody put their hand up. And I said, look, that's a form of PTSD. That's called anhedonia, where you don't derive pleasure from a leisurely activity. And, mate, it was like a big gasp. Everyone went, oh, right. So everyone sort of gets affected, not just you, your family, you or your friends, but people in society who can associate you with either their loved ones, you know, and I think that's a big issue. So for me, it's been good days and bad days. And that TV show, Nellie and I decided that we had to go and face our fear of getting back into the water. And look, surfing was one way, but we decided to do it by diving with sharks. And I can assure you I did my best impression of a rock the first few times.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you were a couple of nights back on Carl Stefanovic's new show This Time Next Year, where you did give yourself a year to conquer your fear of sharks, and you did say on the show that you have managed to overcome that.
Yeah, look, well, I went from an 8 to a 2 out of 10. And look, certainly some days I get intuition. I just drive up my car park. We're now living in an age of like Twitter feeds, and so there's these buoys out the front of our beach now where if there is a tag shark out the front there, it'll come up on your Twitter feed. Now, one day I decided to go for a surf, and it came up on my Twitter feed, so I just went, oh, I'll take the wetsuit off, I'll jump back in the car, and I'll go home and mow the lawns.
Yeah, yeah, well, what a...
Good decision.
Yeah, great decision. I completely understand that, Dale. What a harrowing experience, and it sounds like from your experience that you're kind of using it to speak out and help others that have been in a similar situation. I mean, it is one of those things where Lakey and I and anyone else, until you've actually been in it, really would struggle to understand it. But it is...
I got pinched by a hermit crab once, Dale, you know.
Not the same, Lakey. But thank you
Oh, I've come across a few hermit crabs, though. They're pretty vicious.
But thank you so much for sharing your experience and giving us a bit of an insight into it, Dale.
No, look, thank you, guys, and you have a wonderful day.
Another episode of Probe the Police with Sergeant Wayne Butcher, everyone's favourite policeman.
Good morning, everyone.
Small asterisks next to that. You told me off last time.
Top that
I tried to give you big ups last time, Sergeant.
I'm not a senior sergeant. I'm just one of the boys.
Senior sergeant, top cop.
Top cop.
Yeah, I was top cop.
That's what I was saying. That's what he was, and then live on the air, Sergeant was like, don't call me that. I was like, oh, sorry, Sergeant.
He's got a gun, you don't remember that.
Hey, glad to have you here. We've had a question come in on Facebook over the past 24 hours from Rachel, haven't we, Carl?
Yeah, we have. She wants to know, can you turn into a driveway over unbroken lines?
Unbroken lines.
Like the straight white ones.
She's an angry civilian.
You can turn into it as long as it's into a driveway and you stay in that driveway. You can't use it as a U-turn. You can't go over a solid white line for a U-turn. That is a traffic offence. But if you can only turn into a driveway if you're going through a white line. Say the township of Merrionvale has got a white line all the way through. You can't do a U-turn on that white line. You can only turn, say, into the police station or the Big Crab down there. And there's a few schools around, I think we were talking about it off air, that has a solid white line, a break in the white line for a driveway, and then a solid white line again. You can only go through that into that property.
So say there was like two lanes of traffic going opposite ways and there is broken lines, and then you're like, oh, hang on, I've got me keys. Well, you wouldn't have got your keys because I've been in the car.
Because you're
the
driver. That's a really bad example of car.
Your house keys.
Yep. I've left my child at home, yep.
Yeah, forgot something. You could put on your brakes, have a big line of traffic waiting behind you, and you're waiting for a gap in the traffic going the opposite way to pull a U-turn in broken lots.
No.
I think you could only do it if it was like,
you can pull over to the side of the road, wait for all the traffic to clear.
Right.
Then do your U-turn. You can't stop in the middle of the Bruce Highway.
Right.
And wait for the traffic to clear. And do
that's
a
called common sense, Lakey.
That's impeding the flow of traffic.
Yeah, okay.
Those sort of things.
So. Yeah, right.
And don't forget trucks that weigh 100 ton coming down the highway at 100 kilometres an hour.
Yeah.
And a line of traffic stop because you want to do a U-turn. Yeah. Very dangerous.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
It costs them about $3 in fuel to start doesn't it? Yeah. Okay.
I've got another one for you.
Go.
What does the orange light actually mean on the traffic lights?
Prepare to stop.
Oh, God.
Prepare to stop. Because I thought it was quickly go.
No. Okay. Complete opposite. So
arrest her, Sergeant. We go through this every week.
I just didn't know.
So the misconception out there is that orange is it's about to go to red, which it does.
Yeah.
But under our tow runs law, the ticket amount is the same for an orange proceeding through an orange light. It is a red light. It's just
really?
A different code. That's the only difference. So. People say, oh, I went through because it was orange. Technically, you can get done with the same amount as 3 points and $333.
Oh, God.
For going through an orange light as exactly the same as a red light, just a different code number.
It's a miracle that we've still got that driver's license in her wallet, to be honest, mate.
Yeah, and as
no,
I said,
I won't be doing that again.
She did secure that license from New South Wales, so. As we said, she should go for another licence test.
Hey, they cashed it in Queensland.
So she's have you transferred your licence?
I have, actually.
Okay.
God.
Don't check the address.
So traffic obviously is one of our main players, especially with the school holidays coming up. We want everyone to be safe. Just do the common sense approach to driving. Mm. You're going to get there. If you follow the Fatal Five, you're going to get there safely. Just be mindful of oncoming traffic. And you should get to where you want to go safely, but that patience is the big thing.
Well, we've covered traffic lights with Kelly this week. Next week it'll be roundabouts, and hopefully we can tick off the whole set by the end of the year. Thank you, Sergeant Wayne, for coming in.
No worries, my pleasure. Everyone have a great week and stay safe.
Well, the Bachelor finale week, it starts tonight. Three will be whittled down to two. Maddie J only gets to pick two of these lovely ladies to go visit the family, eh? I mean, who would you choose, Kelly? And it's Tara, Lisa and Laura.
Tara. Yeah? And not just because she's on the line right now.
No, yes, Tara. Tara is there. Morning, Tara. Can I just say, you are by far the most attractive lady on The Bachelor this year. I mean, I haven't watched a whole heap of the show, so I'm not sure about your personality, but you just take the cake as far as looks go.
Oh, really?
Trying to get in on Maddie J's territory, Lakey.
That's all right. Maybe Derek's territory this morning as well.
What's going on with that, Tara? There's rumours circulating that you've been flirting with the waiter off The Bachelor.
Come on, Tara.
Oh, my God. What a joke that is. Dezza. No. Derek flirted with me a bit, though. But I just treated Derek the same way I treated everyone else, which is super friendly. But there's a few malicious girls in the house that been putting out a lot of false information about me.
Is it true that he got fired for being flirty?
I don't know the full story behind that. Apparently, I don't know what the one reason was that he, that made him overcross the line. So I never gave him my number, but I know one of the girls did.
Which one?
Oh, it's been reported. I don't want to say it.
Oh, come on, Tara!
She's been media trained.
Come on, Tara.
It's not one of the girls that's nasty to me, but it's just someone who I think thought, well, I've no chance of Maddie anyway. I'm just going to give Derek my number.
Yeah, so, would have been that Stacey girl. Would have been that Stacey, Miss V8 Stacey at the start. All right, well, Dez is getting a lot of airtime. Screw him for the moment. Maddie J, how much, I mean, obviously you can't say if you're with him, if you're not, if you get eliminated tonight, blah, 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 but how much were you / are you into him out of 10?
I would say 8 at this point in time.
That's not bad.
Ooh,
not
okay. Bad. Yeah. There's hope for Maddie.
Yeah, he's still got a little room to grow as well. I mean, in the height department and in Tara's affection, both, but...
He's pretty tall.
Is he? He comes across as a little man.
That's what I thought. I was like, oh, God, I hope it's not Manny J. He's some little and scrawny. And then I saw him and he was acting and I was like, oh, you're not that bad. You're actually pretty good.
So, be honest, Tara, did you see that tampon commercial that Manny J was in?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. He looks like an unwashed pixie in that ad. It's terrible. Hilarious. I love it, though. I love it. And I love that he can just, laugh about it now as well.
Now, there are rumours circulating around as well that Maddie J actually proposes to the person that actually wins his heart.
Clingy.
Now, I know you can't give anything away. We don't want to get you fired or anything like that or in trouble. But if he was to get down on one knee, is that something that you would consider? Or do you think that's too far?
Oh, look, I think there's a few things you'd need to try and work out before saying yes to a marriage proposal. Mm. You remember you haven't had any alone time with this guy until that night he tells you he's in love with you. So, yeah, I think that'd be a huge risk.
I'd be one of those people that would still say yes on the telly just not to embarrass him and then, when the cameras are off, just be like, yeah, mate, I didn't mean that at all. Like, we haven't even had an audition in the
last bedroom. Yeah, I know. I reckon I'd do the same as well. And then I'd be like, God, what have I got to get myself into? I'm getting married.
Well, hey, Tara, best of luck for the rest of the show. Hope that you get picked to meet Maddie J's family tonight. I certainly hope so. And whatever happens, best of luck for the future. I'm sure you've got a man just around the corner. I mean, you've already got Maddie J and Derek wrapped around your little finger. So let's see who else you can recruit.
Oh, yuck, Derek. Oh, my God. Makes me feel so sick. Thank you, though.